why was the damage to the signalling box so detrimental to train lines yesterday morning?
Well, Sean, the railways have spent the last 50 years trying to get more trains onto their tracks. They've had a few more tracks in places, including just where that happened. But still, nearly everything's carrying as many trains as it can. And because of that, you've only got to have something go wrong somewhere, and delays rapidly snowball. Now, in this case, the what happened closed the two of the four tracks there. It was at 2 in the morning, but obviously that was going to affect the morning peak badly, and there are a number of comments I could make. The first thing is that was pretty vulnerable, that particular one, to a car losing control at the corner, and I shouldn't be surprised when all this is over they put bollards in front of it to stop that happening again. But the other thing is it took a long time to fix. Now, I'm surprised that during those 50 years they haven't kept up with the technology. I suspect there are several reasons for that, but anyway, these days, rather than having racks of relays doing that sort of stuff, you do it all with software inside a computer, and this is already happening at every traffic intersection on Sydney Road. You see the lights there, they do it like this. They have a cheap computer inside, possibly $50, $100 worth, and they have a program set up that's just right for that intersection, and if anything goes wrong, they go out there with the spare computer, and somebody takes the relevant program out on a USB stick, or possibly they do that before they leave the depot, plug it in, and the traffic lights are working again. Now, the railways don't seem to be up to that yet, and I'm surprised.
It's surprising to me too. I mean, in this incident, as I say, we had perhaps an uncontrollable incident. A car hit this signalling box, and that's something that, without bollards may have been unavoidable. But it's not like we don't see these incidents cropping up again and again. Every time we have a light drizzle in Sydney, it seems like there's some kind of signalling problem. Why is that so commonplace?
Well, I don't think it's as bad as it used to be. A lot of effort's been put into making things more reliable and using new wires with the old wires with rubber insulation are long gone, and all the joints are made properly. But still, the system is a very complex one. There's thousands of signals. I think a couple of thousand actually in the Sydney network, and each of them is connected with hundreds of wires to others along the track. You've only got to have something go wrong in one of those wires or in a relay, and then that line's closed until somebody works out what's happened and comes out with a new part and fixes it. It doesn't happen every light shower. It's not surprising when something happens in what we had on Friday night, which was pretty heavy, but I don't think it's as bad as it used to be, put it that way.
In terms of, you mentioned obviously before one of these issues crops up because there are so many trains running. We are at kind of the upper limit of the amount of trains running on this system. Is there a need for Transport New South Wales to develop a little bit of a buffer zone so we don't have this domino effect of delays when one thing goes wrong?
Well, they can't. They've used all the slack they ever had. They could tart up the signalling so you can run a train every 2 minutes on lines instead of every 3 minutes, but that would involve commuters changing their habits, and the trouble is double-deck carriages take a long while to unload when they get to a load when they get to Town Hall Station, you see, and that makes a tremendous difference all over the network. Now, that won't happen with the Metro, but the Metro has its own problems.
And
for instance, on a train journey, you'll find that anyone over 40 wants a seat. Well, I don't know that's going to happen on the Metro, you see.
Yeah, I can promise you I'm under 40 and I would appreciate a seat, which I never end up with on most of the trips I've been taking.
Yeah.
So looking forward, this was probably a little bit more of a success for Transport New South Wales in terms of the updates they were giving commuters, more social media updates, more communication with commuters. That's got to be greatly appreciated. Surely, going forward, that's an area that Transport New South Wales has to make sure they keep up the good work.
Well, the new chief executive, that's Howard Collins. He tweets regularly about this sort of thing, and he's actually very complimentary to his engineers, saying something happens and they spend all night fixing it, and there'll be a tweet from him the next morning thanking them, see? So they do understand the importance of social media.
Mm.
I think they're going to... they're not going to drop it. I think that'll keep going.
Well, Jim, thanks very much. Do appreciate it. As I say, this one crops up now and again, living in Sydney. Do appreciate your time having a chat with us about it.
Bye.
That was Jim Donovan from Action for Public Transport New South Wales. So we know about some of the train delays you might have experienced yesterday morning on certain lines. I didn't have that problem, but I did have the very regular problem of it's not a particularly pleasant journey around peak hour. The line I'm forced to take, it's kind of a sardine sort of situation. Speaking of cars, though, hitting signalling boxes, I shouldn't go too far into the story, but I remember few years back on the Central Coast where I used to live, a friend of mine's father-in-law managed to mistake a rail line for a street. He was heading, he was in the dark, he was around Woi Woi, wasn't quite sure where he was going, and thought, oh, this is where I turn, and turned straight onto the rail line, got the car stuck there, and ended up being hit by the train. So unfortunately, some of these situations, yeah, you can't blame Transport New South Wales for a few delays on that one there.